This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again this morning, or this time on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And I'm happy to be with you folks at this time. We've been here on the study in Revelation now for several months even. And all of these studies, we're coming down close to the end, have several more, three or four more. And these studies are on tape and on CD and also in print. We send them to you in print, free and postpaid. Many folks are requesting them, and they're on CDs and also on cassette tape. But we're coming down to the close. We're looking today at this time at our study in the Great White Throne. Looking there at the Great White Throne in the 20th chapter of Revelation. Just look back just a moment. Folks don't believe that they're going to die. Folks don't believe that there's going to be a judgment day. But here we find much information about that Great White Throne judgment. Judgment always precedes a new age, yes? Listen now. Paul said there on Mars Hill one day, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth every man to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead." The Great White Throne judgment is the judgment Paul is speaking of here. In 2 Peter 3:7 he says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire and judgment against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." And then Paul said again, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment." Yes, every individual who dies without Christ must come to this judgment. God says, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's found in Philippians 2:20. In Romans 14:11, every human being, whether in heaven or in hell, shall bow the knee to Jehovah God and shall confess to him that Jesus Christ is Lord, which means that he's sovereign. He has the right to do as he pleases. And I know folks chomp at the bits when I begin to speak about the sovereignty of God. They chomp at the bits. They rail on me, call me an old fool. But man has this choice while he's here on earth. He can bow his knee to the sovereign, eternal, omnipotent God, do it here under grace, become an object of mercy, receive pardon and forgiveness of sin, be made a child of God by grace. Or he can reject Christ here, be brought to judgment before the Great White Throne, where he will bend his knee, where he will bend his knee as a fit subject for hell, confess that he has no right to mercy, but he will go to hell for his trouble. God must be justified. He must be released by every human being of his responsibility towards that individual. I often tell folks in bringing God's message, one of the things that I have found in essence is that when a sinner comes to that place of total ruin and wreck in his own sight, he releases God. No longer does he blame God. No longer does he hold the hands of God. He turns loose that the Lord might save him. And I could go on and on about that, but let's go on in our study. God is not responsible for man's sin. No. People, I ask folks who tell me they're not saved. I said, "Why? Why are you not saved?" "Well, God hadn't saved me yet." They blame the Lord. Can you believe that, folks? Can you believe that? "Well, the Lord hadn't saved me yet." Shame on you. Shame on you, feller. Shame on you, lady. The Lord is not responsible for your sin. Fall at his feet now, crying for mercy, begging for mercy, looking to the Lord. Don't go on in that condition, my friend. Listen, man will accept that responsibility here, justify God, condemn himself, and be saved by the mercy and grace of God. If he does not, He will then accept that responsibility at the great white throne judgment and be cast into hell without mercy. Now, I've often described that situation, that scene there at the great white throne judgment, and I'm not, surely I can't do it properly, but but from reading and studying and little understanding that the Lord has given me, I believe that that throne will be set, and folks, individuals will come there, stand before that throne. Now, I believe they'll be stripped naked. I know they'll have no righteousness. They'll have no self-righteousness. They'll have nothing. And the books will be open, and their name won't be found there in the book of life. And the Lord will say, depart from me. Depart from me. Cast him out. And did you know what, sinner? Awakened sinner? Lost sinner? Unconcerned sinner? Do you know what? You won't be able to say one word. You know, here we have folks in court, they rail on the judge, they curse the judge, they hit at the bailiff, and all of them, no, you won't be able to do any of that. You'll just stand there. And I've often had folks ask me, well, will that judgment bring repentance to folks? Will they repent in hell? No. Judgment never brings repentance. Judgment never works repentance in the heart. It's only the mercy and grace of God. When you see yourself guilty, undone, condemned before God, and then Christ is brought to your attention that he paid your sin debt, and you see the mercy and grace of God, and you see how long-suffering the Lord has been with you, and you see how patient he's been with you, and you see the love of God manifested in the hearts of God's children, and you look there, and only that grace, only that mercy brings repentance. Oh Lord, how we have sinned. That's what folks will say. That's what the old trailblazer said. Lord, how we have sinned against thy holiness. But judgment never brings repentance. No. Did you know the ever criminal confesses when he gets caught? He only does it when he gets caught. No, he's not brought to repentance before he's caught or apprehended. No. But listen, my friend. If he does not accept that responsibility here, he will accept it at the great white throne judgment and be cast into hell. Folks ask me, what is hell? And I don't know for sure, but I know what the Bible says. But I often think about this, to just be cast away from with no hope of ever coming to know the Lord. You know, I tell my folks here often that I believe every sinner who is not saved, I believe that they have just a smidgen, just a minuscule of something there that they believe, well, I'll be all right. I don't believe God will send me to hell. There's just that little bitty imagination there. You know, they can't justify that because the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It does. But my friend, folks will go on through life, come down to old age, gray hairs, hump back, slow speech. And then they get on the hospital bed, and they, old Uncle Tom and old Aunt Mary, and the pastor goes there and say, well, Uncle Tom, how is it with you? Well, son, I believe I'm all right. I made my peace with God. Lived 90 years in hell, rebellion, of fighting God. And you think just to lay on a bed with long white hair and stooped shoulders, then you can say, well, I'm a child of God. I've been doing all I can all my life. No, that's just a lie out of hell. No, listen, don't depend on deathbed repentance, my friend. No, I believe as long as there's breath in your body and your mind is intact, that you can plead for mercy, but my friend, don't depend on it. What about these folks that die without just all of a sudden? They don't have deathbed repentance. Is that what you're depending on, my friend? You better wake up. You just better wake up and look to the Lord day by day. But I tell you here again, listen, if that individual, every soul, whoever gets saved, justifies God here, now, and says, that's right, Lord. I should be sent to hell. Every soul who goes to hell must and will justify God and say amen to his own condemnation. You may say, well, I don't understand it. Well, it's true. whether you understand it or not. I have folks tell me, say, well, the Bible, I don't understand. I don't know nothing about the Bible. I don't know if it's true or not. But I tell you, it's true whether you believe it or not. It is. And then I hold my Bible in my hand here behind this microphone, and I hold it up and I say, God's word, it's true. Believe it and be saved. Disbelieve it and go to hell for your trouble. My friend, you got to trust the Lord. You do. Oh, listen, John said, I saw the dead. Oh, listen now. I saw the dead, small and great. I wish you'd take note of that statement. I saw the dead, small and great. We have these folks today in the religious field. Oh, how great they are in their own sight. I don't believe John's talking here about multi-millionaire financiers and all those things. No, I believe he's talking about religious folks, those who build these great cathedrals, those who get these great television ministries and go about spouting off error. Oh, listen, folks. The Lord has a way. The Lord has a way of bringing those folks down. But John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Did you know dead folks can stand? As the Bible says it does. They stand there. There are two verses of scriptures in God's word which describe in a limited way how God brings a sinner to judgment and the appearance of the sinner before the great white throne. Listen now, I believe I have time to finish it. Excuse me. The first verse is found in Daniel 12:2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The next selection of scripture is found in John 5:28-29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We notice here in these two verses, three words that describe very graphically, the resurrection of the unbeliever. When God raises him from the dead to bring him to judgment, these words are shame, everlasting contempt, and damnation, which means condemnation. Oh, listen, we're going to look at that again in our next study, go into it a little deeper, and I'll just want to I have a moment or two. I want to give you my mailing address, but I want to give you the bookstore telephone number. Many of you have asked me about the bookstore. The bookstore is up and running here on a temporary basis. It's only by mail order, email, or phone call. And that phone number is area code 225-664-8658. We have a brand new catalog now on the shelf and going to go out in a few days, and you'll find much more new material there. And then our website, that's where you can find much about the old Trailblazer Radio Mission, and that's www.radiomissions.org. Then if you're interested, you could scroll down to sermonaudio.com, and you can hear the old Trailblazer there anytime you want to, or you can hear the Voice of Truth, the late Pastor L.R. Shelton there, and anytime, day and night, on sermonaudio.com. But the old Trailblazer would like to hear from you. Let me hear from you. My mailing address at this time is still Radio Missions or the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. And I wish you'd pray for me and help me with the broadcast, if you will, as we go on day by day. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.